Tomer from Georgia. Appreciate you joining us on the Chit Chat podcast. Currently in Georgia. Spent time as a GA in Georgia. Spent time as an intern at Kent State, which relates to what we're talking about a lot with interns. Then also at Boston College, the 2023 Gatorade Young Excellence Award. I mean, man, we're excited to have you on. Currently, you work with softball as a gymnastics.
Yep.
And then what's the
men's golf?
Awesome. Primarily, we'll be interested in softball just because we don't have gymnastics.
Yep.
And my assistant works with golf. So knowing that you have a hard 120 time for softball coming in, we're just going to get right to it with, we want to go intern business or we want to go nuts and bolts first?
I guess we'll go
nuts and bolts. Actually, starting us off. Yeah.
First question I have is kind of a two-part. Do you do plyos and isos within your workout? And if so, is that something you're like preaching on, like it's absolutely needed to be incorporated and every school should do it?
Time and place on everything. It's the biggest of, you know, you work with them depending on sport. I do, whether it's on the field with them or in the weight room, especially with plyometrics. I keep it pretty simple, especially with their softball girls. We do right now. I know we'll hit this. That was another question, but looking at our fall training, we're 2 to 3 days a week in the weight room. 2 days we're on the field, just straight running. I do one day as being tomorrow. We'll do more of our sprint and just straight ahead speed work with them. And then day two is usually like plyos and some acceleration work. And then we do conditioning at the end, which is being more sprint-based conditioning. But plyometric-wise, yeah, you know, it's an upper body and lower. I do both. Gymnastics, I know, when, you know, you guys don't have that there, but working with them, there's so much all day long. So the biggest of them is just trying to help them how to learn how to land properly. Like they're jumping all the time. I cannot recreate in a healthy way, shape or form the forces that they land with on a daily basis over and over and over again. So really with them, it's more learning how to land properly. But yeah, I think, you know, most sports you're explosive. Let's train that. And sometimes all it is just being very good at the basics and then letting the athlete take over from there. You know, I don't think you got to get too into the weeds on all, you know, hey, I got to make sure that I'm progressing, get good at the basics and let them do that the rest of the way.
And we were talking yesterday about halo press variations.
Yep.
Do you have any that are just very super beneficial and that may not be seen?
Yeah, awesome. I love reading your guys' questions. I don't think I'm doing anything that hasn't been done. I forget what strength coach said it in between podcasts and going to conferences listening. You know, I think Big House has it where it's, you know, you tell me what you're doing, I'll tell you what we called it 20 years ago or 30 years ago. So it's just everything's cyclical. It's going to work back at some point. If I do progress or regress, I'm either going from a full kneeling into a half kneeling into a standing on any pal offs. I do like with both. I do it with softball and with the gymnasts, especially. I like doing a pal off press into an overhead raise so that I get some overhead stability with it as well. Both sports using that. I've done it even as well, just one arm, just working straight up compared to both. And usually if I do that, I'm pulling towards my working arm is towards where I'm connected or what cable I'm doing, anything along those. But no, I, you know, like most, it's, hey, I see what other people are doing and I'll try it out myself, see if I like it. And then like, oh, okay. Well, we've been doing this variation or I want to change some type of core movement. So let's give that a try and see how it goes. I've also done that. And then, you know, watch it one time in a lift. I'm like, yep, nope, we're not ready for that. Okay, let's axe that and we'll come back to something else next week.
For softball specifically being an overhand sport, do you do any overhead exercises? And is it different in season versus off season?
Biggest overhead I do all year round with them. And if you consider, I love a chin up, you know, I think especially working with female athletes, getting them in and just personally, I think the, in between the ears of the ability to know, hey, I can do one. And then when they come in as a freshman, we have one right now, couldn't even do eccentrics, like controlled for a three count was just falling out. We're at week 8 now. We'll have today, I'm looking at it. They get five sets of 3 to 6 reps. If they can't do the three, then they do eccentrics. She'll hit all five sets for a good 3-second eccentric on her own now that she has that control. So I like seeing that. And then, you know, I'll lift her up and talk her up a little bit of, hey, you know, where it's like, hey, remember where we're in August and what we're doing now. Seated Z press. I like doing that one, or just a dumbbell, either barbell or dumbbell variation. I do that more with the gymnast than I do the softball. Any variation of dumbbell press, if I'm going, I like just working my progression for them a lot is flat, low incline, incline, high incline. We'll do some military landmine variations from a half kneeling into a standing controlled press into a push press. I know I'm not straight overhead, but then overhead carries as well with them. It's one, I think, you know, and it's swinging a little bit again on what people want to do or like to do is, they are resilient. I'm not going to ask them to do, you know, a standing heavy, heavy overhead press, but I think we can still get something out of the movement. You know, if we're strong in that range of motion, it's going to help them out on the back end. With the overhead though, especially with softball, I'm very big of, you know, if I'm 1-to-1 push to pull on a day, my volume of reps is going to be more on my pull than I am on my press. And then if not, I'm probably going to be 1 press variation to 2 pull variations. Again, especially like you're saying, softball and the overhead, just making sure that we're healthy on that back end.
Your warm-up routines, is it different for every sport, or is it kind of like a universal routine, and does it ever change within season or off season?
They're different from sport to sport. So I do a lot, like with our golf, we do the TPI screening, which is just, it's Titleist Performance Institute. It's like golf specific. So we do a movement screen with them for that at the beginning of the year. Then from that, I get where their weak points are from their scoring of it. And then I take what the majority of the team is bad at, and it actually, the, you know, the website and TPI helps out, and then we'll spit out corrective exercises for them. So I'm like, okay, we're, the majority of us are bad. I think it's 12 movements at these 6. Okay, let's work on those. We'll retest at the end of the semester and see what we need to add in come spring. So that's a lot of their TPI, just more movement based with them. Softball, I pretty much keep the same. And this again came from, I can't remember if it was at a conference or a podcast listened to, but I like to keep their warm up the same for the majority of the time. And I keep it all year long, but that way, excuse me. If we're always doing the same thing, I get, it can get monotonous, but the athlete can know, because I'm, you know it as a coach, I don't know how they feel on a given day. If they're very good with communication, we can tell. I can see visually in their face if we're having a bad day or if something hurts, or then you can, you know, talk, hey, how are we feeling there? But it lets them know, hey, at this point, the warm-up, I'm usually good and I feel good. I'm not today, so what's going on? And we can talk there. But warm-up, I keep the same, and then I go into, like, my movement prep today. So if I hit that, then that will depend on what I'm doing in the weight room that day. On field with softball, I keep the same thing. I really have 2 warm-ups that I do on field with them in our dynamic and our sprint warm-up. And then it's one where it's, if I just have a shorter time, or we do, if I travel with them and we're getting somewhere on the road, just more of a shakeout instead of doing the same dynamic 10 yards, 10 yards, boom, we turn around, come back. I just do more movement, and I'll just go like, okay, we're going to, you know, forward skip, forward arm swing out, backward skip, backward arm swing back. Then we'll do some in place like mobility work, and I'll just alternate back and forth from like 4 or 5 movements, and then just some mobility work in between there just to keep it fresh for them.
You have an incoming freshman.
Yep.
Your senior. Do you train them differently, or is everybody doing the same thing?
Majority is going to be the same, but yes, train them differently, especially with freshmen. I have no clue if they've ever trained, and I'm fine if they haven't, because that's one of those, hey, you have no bad tendencies or anything like that that we got to work through. But really, it's just the variation of what we're doing. So when freshmen come in with me, we'll start day one, hey, we're goblet squatting. Okay, we can all do that. We're going to front squat. I keep the freshmen front squat for their whole first year, make sure they're rolling. And then I was listening to the one with, is it Cockrell at SMU, coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. So same thing. So yeah, I'll do the heels elevated with them too. Again, just aid, helps them out in their movement helps with ankle mobility and anything. So I want to make sure we move correctly before we're going to add a load to it. And then after that, for them, if they're with me continuously, then it's like, hey, I let the girls choose. If they want to keep front squat, and they front squat. They want to go to back squat, and I can see that we can do it correctly, we back squat. Some girls are year 4 or 5 with me. Hey, they still go heels elevated. Some don't, and that's, I leave that up to them. Fifth year now, especially with transfer portal, my biggest thing with them is, hey, help me help you. So it's my goal, and we can talk softball. My goal is to get you to June. And that's the name of the game. I want to make sure that we're healthy and we're playing all the way through the end of the season. I will make any modifications to our workout that we need to, because some it's just, you know, they've been doing this for the 4 to 5 years. So they got a few more bangs and bruises and bumps along the way. So I just work with them and our athletic trainers, just open communication where, hey, we got to make a modification. I'm happy to do so, because end of the day, I want to make sure they're in the lineup and able to play for us.
And then the last question I have is, are you a game day live person? Have you tried it and liked it? Have you considered it? All things of that nature.
Yeah. We're very lucky. We're going on finishing year one. We just built a brand new facility out at our softball and soccer facility. It's like a mile and a half off campus. So we built a new building out here with a weight room in it. It's used by 4 sports, soccer, softball, and our men's and women's golf, who is also an off-campus sport. Just helps them with getting to and from practice to weights. But with that, we now warm up in the weight room for game days when we're home. So with that, I will do our dynamic, we'll do our, you know, mobility work, and then we get into a bit of a game day lift. Nothing crazy, but I'll do a French contrast lower body. So I'll hit an isometric pin pull. We'll do a body weight jump. We'll go a weighted jump, and then we'll go a band assisted jump in their lower half. And then upper body wise core, cause really I'm just getting them ready. Cause we're doing that 2.5 hours prior to the game, you know, so I'm not worried about that. Once they leave me, they go right up into the cages on a regular game day. So I'm just getting our hitters ready to go hit pretty much for that. So besides the lower body to prime them for that, upper body wise, it's more core rotational, anti-rotational. So they'll do a like partner assisted Palloff press hold for a 4 count each side. And then they switch. We'll do some med ball toss there, and then just some T-spine mobility to get them ready to roll. And I've also changed that. We started it last year and then went from the fall when we moved in, gave it a try during our fall games. And then it really was, hey, you know it from working with the athletes, who are your, you know, who's the thermostat within the team that I can check in? Hey, what do we need to do more of? Do we like this? Do we not? And then we're able to make changes. We've gotten to a spot where the girls feel that by the time they leave here, they're ready and warmed and ready to step into the cage and get going. So a little bit of a, you know, warm up, slow, light lift, but nothing wild.
Is it mandatory, or do you? I guess.
Yeah, that's mandatory. So yeah, okay. That's it. They start game day. Like I'm looking, we got a scrimmage Thursday and Friday with outside team, but I can look at our game day schedule is set up, and it is, if we're playing at 6 PM, they're rolling in with, so 6 PM game, 2:30 to 2:50. They're with me. 2:50 to 3:30 is their warm up in the cages. By 3:40, we're on the field. We'll do another upper body warm up for the shoulders. Then they throw, and then it's infield, outfield, and get into gameplay for there.
How long have you done the? I'll just call it a game day lift. Have you done it?
Yeah, started last year, and it literally because having the weight room available, and that was even our head coach brought that up to me, and we talked. I'm like, hey, let's give this a try, see how we like it, and went from there with it.
Yeah, because I definitely understand the benefits. It's a little harder logistically for us to do here. But then part of me being a sport coach for 2 decades is like, man, if that player has their routine on game day, the last thing I want to mess with their mojo, and they, you know, they might not, especially with all the transfers you deal with.
Yeah.
If they played 3 years without it, again, at the end of the day, you tell them, hey, you know, head coach says you're in there. They can't say anything, but that's one of the issues I've kind of gone back and forth with. And then if it's so great and beneficial, what do you do on road games?
See, that's the problem we ran into. So we'll do some style of it. I'll do more. We'll hit our warm up, and then it'll just be more like plyo. We'll still do our like core movement work. Just don't have med balls to throw. So it's kind of working with that. So it is, there's a like home warm up and then there's an on the road warm up.
Yeah. Cause the flip side of the player that doesn't want to do it is the player that is 100% bought in. And then if you're at a road game and things don't go the way, well, we didn't have our game day.
Correct. Left. Yeah.
We would have been ready. Yeah. So I guess you could, like you said, do plyos. And do you ever use an opposing team's weight room? I don't know how it works in the D1 world. Is that bad etiquette to ask?
No. We did that for a long time when I was the GA helping with baseball. Like that's a big one in the SEC was, you know, cause softball, baseball, you're there for 4 days, you know, you're getting in Thursday night, you got your game Friday, game Saturday, game Sunday. The weight room lift wise, that was more like starting pitchers were the ones coming in and doing those. And we would allow the opposing teams to do it. That was just our rules pretty much. Hey, if you allow us to use your facility, you know, we'll allow you, on the back end to use ours. I think, you know, if we wanted to, we could, but there's so much where it's like your limited time that you're allowed at that facility. So when we get in on a Thursday night, we have an X amount of time from the second we step onto the field that we have to be off of it. So I don't know if like using the weight room would come into play on that. If someone approached me, I'd be fine with it. There's just the time of like we hosted our SEC championship tournament last year. And I sent out to all the strength coaches that work in the SEC of, hey, knowing that you could be here for a week, if you do want to get training in or anything like that, we opened the doors to them. And it was just really, you had to work around our teams that were still in session at the time, which weren't many. But really I had a few just reach back out like, hey, thank you, but we won't be using it. You know, so it's just one of those.
You don't have to give a name. Did the head coach say, don't send that letter to this school, we don't want them?
No, it was that. I checked with him prior, and that's even more my direct boss, Katrin Koch, is pretty big, where it's like, hey, if we're going to host an event, we can allow everyone to walk in the doors. Now, there are a few, and I won't say the names, that it is a known, they are not allowed to use our weight room because they don't allow us to use theirs. So
yeah, you'd have to give them a Georgia shirt to put on before.
Correct. Yeah. So,
I like that. Anything else? Nuts and bolts? So in season, you have them, if I heard correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong, twice a week in season, which fall ball kind of bleeds into that. How do you approach fall
ball? Fall ball wise, like we'll play usually in season or fall season. Sorry. So we're in our off season. Coach is pretty big where it's like, hey, you don't need to lighten up on the week. We're still going to play because it's one of these, a win or loss doesn't count against us in any way, shape or form. And he's like, you have your plan. We're trying to get better right now. This is our time to push. In season, I'll get 2 days, maybe. So that's one is Tuesday is always our day. Just works in the week. You play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mondays are mandatory off day. We'll lift Tuesday, go into practice. We'll usually have a game Wednesday, majority of the time. And then Thursday, if we're home, we'll lift. If we're on the road, that's travel at that point. So they're already on the bus at noon, depending on where the trip is, or they could be flying to wherever they got to go. So on those days, I miss that. So with it, my in season with them is it's a total body on day one. And then that day two is more of just like a primer. We'll be lighter and it's more, you know, just let's be fast, feel good, and be ready to roll for the weekend.
And we'll segue to business in turn, kind of sports science with Brock, but Amkers, I don't know, it might be one of your questions. Do you travel to all the games with the softball team?
When I can. So that's one of being the sports that I have. They just sit right on top of each other season-wise. So when gymnastics is in season, I do not travel with softball. Once they're done, I do, and that's because gymnastics then trains Sunday afternoons, Monday morning, and then Wednesday. So I would miss the main lift that they always get and let the coach know that. And he's like, yep, completely understand. And it was one was like, that'd be me not being there at your Tuesday lift every other week. He goes, yeah, I wouldn't want that. So I'm not going to ask you to do that to another team.
That's a good point. Well, then we'll segue to Brock and sports science.
So you kind of – we've seen some mentionings about your intern experience of how you, is it correct that you stayed with the buddy and you stayed in the stairway or the staircase?
I lived in the corner of the kitchen of a one bedroom apartment, and we stapled two bed sheets to the ceiling to make at least a room around the air mattress that I lived on for 6 months.
Oh, dang. And we were like, man, is that the way to do it? Or is this like,
I was lucky. So that was one. And it was one of your questions, you know, like intern wise, that guy went from being at one point when I was interning under him at Kent State, ranked me number four out of five interns, where it's like, you got to get it together. Like, got to do better. We laugh at it now because I'm the only one in that intern class that still works in collegiate athletics. And I was also in the guy's wedding, and he's going to be in mine. So it's one of those of, you know, turn me around real quick. And it was, you know, to go off, I know we're jumping questions here off that one. But yeah, that was just time I put in, and, you know, kind of got, he laid down the line and was like, hey, either we're going to fix this or you can be done. And I pulled the 180 and followed what needed to. And, you know, that would have been in summer of 2012. And then I moved down and lived in that guy's apartment in January 2014, you know. So, and that one goes of, you never know who you're working with and what can happen in this field. And it was one that the Kent State baseball coach got hired at Georgia as the new head coach down there. He brought my mentor and very good friend, Ryan Gerhart, with him. And then that would have been in the summer of 2013. And then he knew, he just reached out. He goes, hey, I know you got to do an internship to graduate. Would you want to come down? Because I was transfer all of that. I was ahead in class course. So all I had was like my internship credits to do. And went down to Georgia in January 2014. And by February, my now boss approached me and was like, hey, our GA graduates next year. Would you want to stay on until then? And you'll be our next GA. So it worked out, you know.
That's awesome. What are some tips that you could give to like someone that's wanting to intern or get ready to GA for a spot, like to kind of keep that passion? Is there, like, did you always know you were going to go into this field, or like how you said you're the number four guy?
Yeah.
Did you do different to kind of 180 that to, you know, get to where you are?
Yeah. So, I mean, one that I know was I just, and it sounds easier, I don't know, cliche, but just work, you know, like I was the one of, it was any, especially at that time. So Georgia, now we train out of four different weight rooms. At that time, it was one weight room for Olympic, one for football. If you count football, we have five weight rooms. But it was every Olympic sport was working out of that one weight room. So it was sometimes two to three teams at a time. Certain times, depend on team size, there's only one in there, but it was rolling on the clock. Six to seven would be a team, seven to eight to nine, nine to 10. And then usually like 10-ish to one was kind of the class break that no one was really training during that time. And then be the same thing, or even two, but like 3 till 7 PM. And that was helping every team that I could help at the time. Again, I was just interning. I wasn't taking classes. I wasn't doing anything. So I was there from, you know, first team in the morning to the last team at the end of the night. And I think it benefited me of just getting your reps in, because I worked with different sports. You worked with the males, you worked with the females, you worked with, we're down here, we have equestrian to baseball, to softball, men's basketball, women's basketball, golf, gymnastics. So I was able to see a lot of different athletes and ways of training, because I was able to work under four or five different strength coaches. And it's a lot of, okay, like the way they do that, I'm not a fan of that if I was in those shoes, but hey, guess what? It's their program. I'm helping them out. I'm going to do that. But if I was given the choice, or I was the one in their shoes, I'm probably not doing that movement or way that they, you know, flowed a lift or anything like that. Listen and watch was big ones as well from your question on that one. You know, there's the saying, you got two ears, one mouth. Let's use the ears more. And that goes the same one of being just hear how the coach comes across when they start a lift, how they finish it, difference of, you know, hey, we're really locked in now to I'm one. I want the kids to enjoy when they're in here, the athletes, but also know there's time and place. And when we're working, we're working. But guess what? We're still going to have fun while we're doing it, because I want you to enjoy this. The last thing I want is being like, have an athlete that just dreads, you know, three times a week, oh, I got to go to lift today, you know, or just one of those. And that kills me, because that's my job. So I want to, you know, that's my passion. I want to share that with them and help them out and be a better athlete. But yeah, that was the one of, like I said, I rolled in January of 14, and there was already an intern class that had been there since the fall, you know, in fall or January 14. They were there in the fall of 13, and I rolled in, and since I was there all day, I went and just blew them all out of the water, you know. And I think that goes why you had 3 to 5 that were already there that weren't offered a graduate assistantship. And I came in and within a month rose my way up the ranks and was the go-to person, you know. I think that was the best, was just doing that. And that's one of, you know, either have that internal motivation and you want to do it or you don't. And that was one where that worked for me. You know, I will, excuse me. I'll always say, and I tell my interns now, I may not be the smartest coach, you know, out here. I work with some very high level people. We have 3 master strength coaches on our staff, you know, so they've been around and they know stuff, and I want to listen and learn from them. But I'll tell you what, I step foot on that floor, I'm the best coach out there. You know, that's where my strength is. Don't know how it works or why, but the ability to get across to the athlete and get them to buy in and ask them to do some uncomfortable things every now and then, I've been able to do every place that I've been. So
I like how you mentioned that mentality to, you know, really walk in there and be like, this is my stuff. Yeah. This is what I'm good at. This is what I love to do. What does your staff kind of look like under you then? You did mention you have interns.
Yep.
And you have master strength. What does it kind of look like? Do you have sports scientists on staff? Do you guys track that or?
Yeah. So we have 8 full-time staff members. So 1 with men's basketball only, 1 with women's basketball only, 1 with baseball only. Then our women's basketball also doubles as our like head of sports science for us. So he helps everyone else. If you got questions, you kind of go to Rucci and he'll help you out with things. But then Katrin, who's the director, master strength coach, she is women's swim, women's tennis, and then all the administrative stuff. Sean Hayes, master strength coach, is volleyball, men's swim, men's tennis. John Smith is track, all aspects of it, distance, multis, sprinters, throwers, works with all of them. And that's a lot of bodies. So that's why he's just track and field only. But that's like 5 different teams pretty much is what he's working with. Derek with baseball, myself having gymnastics, softball, men's golf. And then I share this facility with Jasmine Johnson, who does soccer, and then women's golf. And then we have 2 GAs currently. One does equestrian and diving, both men's and women's. And the other one is the go-to assistant for everyone, and he does cheerleading and oversees them. And then right now we got 4 interns.
Are all the interns Georgia students, or do you get interns from other schools as well?
We've kind of just gone, it helps us out that I've gone more to just staying with Georgia students. One, then I don't have to worry about finding housing, knowing that I did it when I was here because I was the intern for a year before I got the GA. I'm like, hey, I need to make money somehow. So the staff was very accommodating with that. And I was working at a pizza joint in town for, you know, 6 or 7 months. So when they're already here, they already have their housing. They know what they're doing. If we had one of our GAs used to be an intern with us and did a great job and spot opened up and right place, right time. We were able to keep him. And he went from same thing. He was also working at a pizza place in town. And we're like, hey, you don't got to do that anymore. You're now getting paid. So, that worked out. And then we also have a very good kinesiology department in strength and conditioning. So we get a lot of like the grad students, first year grads. I like to take more of the undergrads if possible. One with that, because then if they're going to be here, you know, take them as a junior, hey, we got 2 years, maybe then they could be the next GA and they stay and go to grad school here if that's their goal. I like having the grad students, but the only problem is trying to get them to be ready for that next step without having teams training under them, you know, because I know that is one of how you guys are. Hey, I have this team. I have that on my resume that I trained this team for 2 years. I was the one interacting with the head coach, the assistant coaches, working with sports med, anything like that. So I try to let them coach as much as possible once we know and we feel, you know, comfortable with them. But my intern that works out here, Carson, is a first year grad student, and he works with the 4 sports out here, being softball, men's, women's golf, and soccer. And after like 3 weeks, he was rolling. I'm like, hey, every warm up with men's golf you got, you know, and then we'll sit down come spring and hey, I'm programming this next phase out. Let's sit down. Give me, you know, if we're looking at this, what would be a progression you'd think to do? And then kind of give them some input into that with that team.
I like that. That's a good way. You kind of hit on it, is that like when you're looking for applications and
yep.
Like say for us, you kind of say, you know, it's good to be that 2 years of having teams under you, learning that experience.
Yeah.
And getting to work with it and seeing it. What's like some other things, someone that's interviewing for strength and conditioning position, what's some things that you would look for if you're hiring someone?
One, so
email previous coaches or is it?
Yeah. Like, so I'm going to reach out. So that's one of, and we've had that with a former GA was applied for a job and was like, hey, can I put you down as a reference? I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to be honest. Like I'm not, you know, going to put a black mark on my name. And it came up and that was the place they applied. And the director point blank was like, hey, are they ready for this job? And I said, no, like that was, they weren't ready. And I'm not going to send that person there and then put a black mark on my name or our, you know, staff at UGA. Like, oh, well, we hired one of their people and they were bad and we had to get rid of them after a year. So we're going to reach out. My boss has a big one where she's like your circle plus one. So either someone we've worked with or a trusted person that we know they've worked with them directly. Because it's one of those where then you can have that upfront straight conversation of, hey, can they do this? Yes or no? Because at the end of the day, my goal is I want to get all of our interns a job, but I'm not going to send them somewhere that they aren't ready for. Now I know it's hard to know because you don't know you're ready for it until you're in it. You know, that was when I went for different jobs early on and I was like, I don't think I'm ready. And that was my mentor and Ryan Gerhardt was like, no, you got to do it. The only way you're going to know is you got to jump in, you know, feet first and be ready to roll. That was my first full-time gig at Boston College. I had 12 teams that I trained there because they're big, you know, those Northeastern schools have all the sports under the sun. And I had every team that I trained was trained on Tuesday, Thursday, and I had a team every hour from 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. And I was just rolling. And, you know, I was able to come up for air every now and then, but that helped me out where that was my first job where it was like, okay, I had two big sports where it was like train on court as well between volleyball and our field hockey to be like, hey, you're going to do on field conditioning. You're doing this, doing that. But had men's, women's tennis, had our fencing team, had rowing, had who else did we have there? I think I had golfs. Like it was, you know, it was one of those where so long ago now I couldn't even remember, but it was that again, just like interning at Georgia and working with every team that I could. I got so many reps in by just coaching on those days and helped me out early on where was programming the best, probably not, but it got better because I learned from what worked and what didn't work, you know?
Then my last question I got, what do you think, or for you, what was the best interview question you've ever been asked or something that just kind of got the wheels turning on there?
I like one that I asked to our possible interns. And this comes from someone that was in my intern class at Georgia. We were in grad school together. Jordan Nielsen, who's now the director at Auburn Olympic side. And she does one of where or how do you consume your content you learn from? Cause then it's one of those where if it's just straight Instagram where it's like, well, we got a problem with that, you know? Or it could be, okay, who? And then some, as you know, because there's some strength coaches out there that put out some solid content on a regular basis. If they're naming some bodybuilder dude that just has 100K followers and does that, I'm not really excited about that call. Last book you read is one just to know because, you know, you're always learning. I'm also fine if they're like, hey, last book I read was I'm a big fan of Jack Carr is the Terminal List. It was on Amazon. But I like those books where it's like, hey, even if it's not a strength and conditioning specific book, are you reading? Are we doing something outside of just lifting weights all the time? You know? And then I always finish it. And this was one that was drilled into me early on and puts a big, either good check mark or a nice big red X on their internship application. If we finish the internship from my end and I hit them with the, do you have any questions for me? And they got none. That's not a good look. Cause that's one of even, unless they hit with like, hey, you hit on, I had this, this, and this, and we already talked about it. Okay. But that was just one that I was taught of show your interest of, I could do like you guys did of, did the background check of bring something up of, hey, what's written online about this person? Okay. Let me ask about one specific point. Okay. You did some research on what you're going to do. You know, they could ask about a team that's playing right now or anything like that. If a team's in season, out of season, but just to have something ready to prove that you just didn't, okay, I applied for this and I've done nothing else.
So you can say congratulations on your engagement. That would be good.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. See, there you say, okay, they look some stuff up.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Your life will change for the better, and then you'll have kids, and it'll get even better.
That's the plan.
Any other questions? Do you use BBT with softball?
Yeah. Yep. So I use that more in season. So that's a, we do gym aware is what we have. And I will do that. Like right now we're hitting today, just a regular squat. But then in season, I'll go more based and use the VBT and the gym wear for that. Cause then I know, especially we get early, you know, if I'm looking the first month of the season, we're having anywhere from 4 to 5 games on a weekend compared to the usual 3. And some of those, a girl could play in every inning of every game. When we come in on Tuesday and we're going to train, hey, I got, you know, multiple doubles at 80%, or, you know, which, not if I'm looking at relative intensity, yeah, everyone should be able to do that, but her legs are shot. We, you know, we're dying. That 80% feels like 100 and she's just getting bodied right now. Yeah. Or you have the girl that played 4 innings over 4 games. She's ready to go. We can get after it. So, use the fall to kind of find a good training number to work off of. And then we'll play around with it in January is usually when I'll introduce them again back to using the gym wears. And I get that nice month before we start training just to kind of get some numbers and see where we're at. And then just give them the range to work in and let them know, hey, if we hit, you know, we're hitting 3 reps, all 3 are in the green, let's add some weight to it. You know, if we're way above my goal bar speed, it could be, hey, let's add 5 to each side. We're going up 10 pounds. We're going up, you know, 15 pounds are going up 20 if they're just blowing it out of the water. Or we just hit 3 in the red. Okay, let's take some weight off. You know, we're a little fried right now. If our tank's already empty, I'm not going to try and empty it even more, you know, so it's one of those. And then gives them some autonomy as well, too, to help them out. And then as you guys, you know, gym wear I like and some of it, it gamifies it. So when they can see, oh, okay, this is how fast I'm moving. You get a little bit extra effort out of them, too, I've seen as well.
You do any speed timing with speed gauge?
Yep. So we do free lap. I do that every Wednesday right now, but in season will be on Tuesday. So we've done that since Tony Baldwin took over as head coach in 22, but that would have been fall of 21. We started that. I do fly 10s and they'll get 2 reps at that. And then with that, I get their speed through it and both their time and their miles per hour. And then in that I have hanging in the, my office here is the UGA softball speed club. So we have the 18 mile per hour speed club. If you hit that, you get to sign your name to it, 19 and 20. Almost had to buy a new one for 21. Our center fielder last year was like 20.89 miles per hour on one of hers. So
big lead in are you giving them?
I go 20 yard lead in. So that's a, and then I use that along with the gym aware. And then we do valid 4 stacks. And that's really, especially in season, is like the most of, hey, I'm just stacking those things on top of each other to kind of see where we're at. Usual Tuesday in season will be, we'll start out actually out on the field, get our warm up in, get our speed warm up, hit our 2 fly 10s. Then we're primed, we're ready to roll. We just rip right into the weight room from there. Once they come in, they'll do their just counter movement jump on the 4 stacks. I'll be able to look at after the lift's over, hey, here's where we're at. And then just they're running, you know, average. And I look if they're below 10% of their running average. Okay, they're in the red. I'll let the coaches know, like, hey, this girl, a little slow. And we've had it before, and it was great of all the sports science is great. But if the coach isn't willing to do anything with it, it, you know, we're just collecting numbers to collect numbers. I'm fortunate enough that I work with a coach that takes that into account. So we had a day, and this was, I think, his first year. We had sprint numbers as a team were down average across the board. Jump numbers were down across the board. And I let him know where it's like, hey, they're looking pretty tough right now. And he's like, okay, we'll see how we do in practice. But came off first hot travel weekend in the SEC, got back late, so everything was working against him. We warmed up before practice, still didn't look great. We did in and out, and girls kicked like five balls around, and he called practice at that point and just brought him in. He's like, okay, we're done. I'll stay for an hour if anyone wants to hit. But other than that, like, we had a game the next day. He's like, hey, do whatever you need to between now and tomorrow to be ready to come in and ready to play. So it was like, just go home, go see a movie, go out to eat with teammates, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you got to do. But just come back, do something for you to, he's very big on fill your cup. So fill your cup back up, be ready to roll. And he just looks like, team meals at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I'll see you then, you know, and then boom, we're out the door and ready to roll.
Yeah, because if the coach doesn't buy into it, you could save time, money, and hassle of setting that up and just say, yeah. you decide, coach, how fresh you think they are.
Yeah.
You talked about an intern. I'm just curious, like, he ranked you 4 out of 5. Was it a literal, hey, I'm giving you a ranking every week as an intern?
I think it was probably like our mid-semester that summer, and he kind of – and he it was straight up. He ranked us, and it was, hey, this is the top dude. He was also with them for like a year and a half. Number two was a number – was a just-finished grad school, I think, and it was kind of there. Came from Stony Brook, which had a very good strength and conditioning department. Third was another intern that had been there for a year or so with them, so he had his footing with them. I was fourth, and the fifth one was a dude that just started with us probably like a month before that. And he was like, he's only 5 because I have, you know, 4 weeks worth of working with him. So I was young as well. Like, I was 21 then, and, you know, I'm the same age as the athletes I'm working with and was fresh. Like, I transferred. I was playing football at Notre Dame College at the time, was doing a summer internship with them. And I know that was one of your first questions were from the sheet you sent, where it's like, hey, when did you know like you had a passion for it? And I knew I wanted to do something in sport. I grew up the son of a coach at our small town in Northwest Ohio. He coached football for 30 plus years. He was our head baseball coach for 15. So growing up, I was just always around, you know, football practice or baseball practice. I was at any, that was the easiest babysitter pretty much. We then learned out later in life was, hey, I'll be at the car at this time. You better be there and don't get in trouble. Boom. That's what we did. And we just ran roughshod through the high school and the surrounding area, but was able to see the impact that he had as a coach, and then knew I wanted to do something in athletics. I was thinking more on the business side, like my undergrad, I'm sport admin major with a business minor. And then that was when I was at Kent State that summer, was like, hey, I want to give this a try. And then was talking with the director then, and he was like, you know, he was a math major in his undergrad. He goes, now it's going to be a harder trip for you because you're going to have to do kinesiology or, you know, do it at the grad level, which usually most people in this do the opposite, and they'll do sport admin in grad school and learn the business side and the administrative stuff. But he's like, you can do it if you want to. And he made the point, and I tell our interns, he's like, you will learn more with your feet on the floor in the weight room than you're going to sitting in class learning through a textbook. So I try to, you know, share that wisdom with them as well currently, but it just worked out. And I was probably there for 2 or 3 weeks and was like, nope, this is what I want to do. And I know it. So I transferred from Notre Dame College, gave up a full ride scholarship there playing football to transfer to Kent and go 3 semesters there before I moved down to Georgia. So
you traded it in for a spot on the floor and a sheet as a bill of secrecy on someone's floor. That's
correct. You know,
that's a great trade-off. I know you got to get to your team, but a rapid fire question, book you would recommend to an intern GA getting started in the profession? Is there one book you're like, man,
yeah, this is gonna help you? I'm reading. Sorry, I'm out of screen right now. It's in my,
are you good?
In my bag. Oh, this is a good one. John Bloom, Strength in Numbers, is a solid one. Not just strength coaches. It's also just very high ranking coaches or other people within the athletics field. I want to say it's like he starts off, it's 12 questions or 15, something like that. And he sent it out and it's a book he wrote by just reaching out into his network of people that he knew. And Talked to some of the top people in the field in athletics, and it was them just giving their stories and pretty much doing this, but in book form. So, hey, what was something, you know, questions here, we'll just go through. What traits or skills do you most successful athletes have in common? Do you have a failure that was critical to your long-term development or success? And you get that from, you know, 90 different people's point of view. So it's one of those. I'd have to look my bookshelf back in my other office right now.
He's got he was at ACU. He's got a little Abilene connection.
Yep.
A great book. It was a good podcast as yep. well. Probably need to reach out to him to see the transition from collegiate to high school. He's in a high school now.
Okay.
The DFW area. Best clinic speaker you've ever heard?
Ooh. Had few. Again, I wish I had my notebooks with me from going to conferences. Would be Dan John. I remember it was one of the first ones I saw early on, and he just made the joke, but it was true of that was the time when, you know, I don't get why everyone's doing these Navy SEAL workouts. The only people that need to train like Navy SEALs are Navy SEALs, and they're that way for a reason. You know, we don't need to train the women's softball team at Georgia like Navy SEALs. And that was kind of one where it like clicked in my head where it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I need to train them as the softball athletes they are. And I've taken that and, you know, has kind of helped mold the way I train and how I do my programming where it is of, I let them know when they come in on recruit as a recruit, where I'm like, hey, you're coming here to be a softball player. And I know that, or a gymnast or a golfer, whatever sport it is, anything we do in this weight room is to help you be a better athlete, you know, and then the coaches will help you be the better, you know, softball player, gymnast, anything like that. Anything I'm doing in here should benefit you in the field of play and like that. Alistair McCall was one when I was doing tennis back in the day. He's on the tennis side, and he had the great analogy of, we're the mechanic in the weight room. The weight room's the garage, the athlete's the car. Okay, we're gonna soup them up, give them some more horsepower, put some wheels on them, you know, help them that way, give them to the coach, and the coach is the driver of that car. So they're gonna get them in the right spots and get them together there. I share that analogy a lot as well. So that's another one that stuck out to me.
Yeah, Dan John does a good job of mixing humor and
yes.
knowledge. He's really good, and his books are, I laugh out loud sometimes, but yeah, there's yep. always good takeaways. Coach, can't thank you enough, man. Appreciate your time. I hope all your teams do great. I hope this training session coming up is great. And just appreciate you investing in future strength and conditioning coaches.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys reaching out. And like I said, before we start, I'm a big fan of this idea you guys got going and have listened to a few so far. So excited to see where you guys go from here. But anytime you got questions, you guys, happy to reach out. I will get back when I can for you guys. Okay.
All right. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.